It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome into the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast. My name is Kyle Yates, and I am your host. I can be found on Twitter at KyleYNFL. I am joined today by a good friend in the industry. His name is Scott Fish. He can be found on Twitter at ScottFish24. Scott, how are we doing, man? How are the, I think you're in like 7,423 leagues. Did you make any championships this year?
I'm doing well. I made three championships. I'm facing off against Jamie Eisenberg in one, and JJ Zacharyson in another, and then another just a guy you wouldn't know. But I made three of the 10 or so leagues I'm in, which is okay.
It's decent. There we go. I mean, 10 leagues, I thought for sure it would be way more than that. So that's around the number I'm in. Zero championships this year because of just stupid luck. I was in the running for two championships, and we're recording this on Tuesday. On Monday night, I needed Jalen Waddle to score less than 18 points in one league to make it. Okay. That didn't happen.
No.
I needed Devontae Parker to score 3 points to be able to make it in the Dynasty Nerds Invitational against Garrett Price. That did not happen either. So sitting there with zero championship opportunities this year. It sucks, but hey, we are here to wrap up the end of the 2021 NFL season here, moving into the 2022 offseason, and a great conversation here today as we take a bird's eye view, look into Dynasty. Before we get into that, though, I want to remind everyone that we have a giveaway going on courtesy of our friends at PristineAuction.com. This is a Deontay Johnson signed jersey giveaway. To enter this giveaway, all you have to do is subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros. That is it. Go over to fantasypros.com/dynastycontest. Complete the form there to show that you have subscribed to our YouTube channel and to be entered into the giveaway. And that is it. The contest will end on New Year's night, so make sure to get into that giveaway here ASAP. Again, go over to youtube.com/fantasypros and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Scott, before we get into the direction of Dynasty and where we are heading and some larger conversations, I wanted to look back at this past week and talk about one of the most interesting things here as we go into the offseason. That is James Robinson. And obviously, James Robinson suffering what is reportedly a torn Achilles here up against the New York Jets this past week. It sucks to see he was producing, just starting to get rolling again after Urban Meyer was gone. And now there are a ton of question marks about James Robinson going into next year. New coaching staff, Travis Etienne, how does he come back from this injury? So I wanted to ask you, what is the dynasty value of James Robinson right now? If you have Robinson in a dynasty league, what really should we be doing?
Man, that's, his price is not going to go much lower. I can't imagine it going. It's got to be hitting an all-time low now because people can't use him to win their championships if you're in a league with no trade deadlines. They know that start of the season you're going to be lucky if he's back. I'm going to guess not all athletes can make the same
cam makers. Right.
movement. I think I had him somewhere as like a dynasty startup like sixth, seventh round pick before the injury. Now, I think he falls down. If you want to take a shot on, if you can get him for a third, if you can trade a third and get him, thirds hit what 15%
right,
of the time,
right?
Go for it. But seconds and firsts, I have trouble parting with that now at this point. Like you said, ETN coming back, it's going to be new coaching staff. Like this last coaching staff wasn't even the coaching staff that brought
right,
him in. So
right.
I think they went to him more out of necessity at the start of the season. So it's rough sledding for him at this point.
It is. And it's not like he's going to be walking back into a guaranteed role in a like very, very high powered right. offense, right? This is still the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're currently holding the number one overall pick. So it's like, we don't even have that guarantee here for James Robinson coming back next year that he's going to be the guy in this backfield. He's going to have scoring opportunities. That's not there. So I think I'm with you. If you can get send away a third round pick, I'm totally up for that. You know, it's the third round picks, they hit very, very seldom. And then, if I've got James Robinson, I'm just holding because I'm not selling away for a third round pick.
Yeah, you know, you don't want to sell him at arguably his lowest point.
Exactly. So wanted to have that conversation with James Robinson because it is really interesting right on the heels of, no pun, that wasn't a pun, but in the wake of him going down with an injury. So wanted to talk about that, but then let's get into a larger conversation. And what I wanted to do here is as we come to the conclusion of the 2021 fantasy football season, is to take the bird's eye view of Dynasty and to notice any trends, to have any larger conversations about where Dynasty is heading, some things that need to be changed, some things that we learned here from this past year. And I thought that there was no better person in the industry to have on to have that conversation than you, Scott. So what I wanted to do here is really have these conversations. And if you have any specific advice for like people who are setting up their first year of Dynasty Leagues, because we're seeing a ton of people that are moving towards that. Like Ray and I did, I think episode one of this podcast when Ray was the co-host, we went back and we really hammered that stuff as far as how to set up a Dynasty League. So if you have questions about that, please go back and listen to that episode. But this is going to be looking at where we are going now as far as Dynasty. So I wanted to kick off the conversation here and really just have a free-flowing conversation with you is, in Dynasty Leagues, right, we've got 28-man rosters, sometimes even larger than that in 10, 12, 14-man leagues. Like the size of these Dynasty rosters are just massive. And what we see typically is 10-plus starting positions. You've got the three wide receivers, sometimes three running backs. You got super flex leagues, all this, different variations. But the precedence and priority that's placed on running backs is huge. And as we look at this past year, where how many first-round running backs got injured, how many running backs are now in committee situations, right? The bell cow back is becoming less and less of a thing. Where do we need to now think about eliminating the amount of starting running back positions that we have in fantasy football rosters, specifically in Dynasty? Because I'm in a league that has three starting running back positions, and I am going to be going to that league this offseason and saying, guys, we need to rethink this because trying to fill out those starting running back spots is a nightmare. I'm starting Eno Benjamin in certain leagues in some spots because he's a starting running back and he's active and that's all I've got. So I wanted to ask you that. Is it time that we start to rethink how many starting running backs we have in fantasy football, but more specifically in Dynasty?
Yeah, I think we've come to a point where we really need to start rethinking the lineup construction in general. I think you're right on with the running back. I also think the wide receiver is a point where it needs to be pulled down from the most common is still three out there. And I think it needs to be pulled down to two. It's as you mentioned, there are just too many players getting hurt routinely, being out for whether it's COVID or just other reasons out consistently. I think we need to ramp up the IRs to almost unlimited at this point.
Seriously.
But yeah, we're at a point where I don't think we go down to like no requirements. I know I've played in and you probably played in, which are you don't have to start any quarterbacks if you don't want to, or running backs. You have 10 flex spots and you can start whatever you want. I don't think we go there. There's something that comes with having required positions is trading. If you're short on a position, you really need to start like two running backs.
Right.
You might need to go out and trade for it. It could hamper activity in your league if you bring it down too much, but you're absolutely right. We're at a point where there's too many committees. The ball's getting spread around too much, whether it be running backs or wide receivers on teams. And just the injuries. We need to pull it down to probably one running back and two wide receivers and just more flexes. I think in general, Dynasty should just have more flexes to allow a broader range of roster construction for how you want to build your team.
That was going to be my question is, okay, well, if we pull down the running back spots, then what is the solution? And that is more flex spots where you allow more flexibility in your starting. But I think you bring up a really important point there of, if you do eliminate a lot of that, you know, if you go too far in the other direction, then the activity in your league could almost cease. You know, you're still going to have people that are calling their shots on players and things where they're trying to get ahead of the curve and, you know, the buy lows and sell highs. That'll still be there. But as far as the downside of eliminating those running back positions could be the fact that we lose some of the activity in our league. So yeah, I think let me ask you this. So if you've got like the 10 starting positions, right? You got a quarterback, you've got the three running backs, three wide receivers, you got a tight end, you got two flex spots, right? Is the solution then to at that point drop down to one running back and two wide receivers and then just like four or five flex spots? Is that really the way to go?
I think we're going to see more and more leagues doing that. We don't have the exact answers, and maybe this year was a little bit more anomaly, but it feels like it's been two, like the last year or two with COVID and whatnot being,
right.
It might be more anomaly, but it just feels like that's what's happening. The extra game we talked when I was on your show earlier this offseason, we talked about grab every backup running back you can, right. Because this extra game is going to force teams to utilize more running backs. So I honestly think that's the play, is to move it to one running back, two wide receivers, and just a couple extra flex spots. I have trouble believing a lot of leagues will be too upset with a system like that.
Right. Yeah. It's not like we're eliminating the starting positions. You're still going to have the ability to start those players, but
right. It
eliminates being so hard pressed that you're starting, Benjamin every single week, like I mentioned. So
yeah, starting three is, we can't be doing that.
It's nuts, man. There are some, it's very difficult to try to find any starting running back, especially in a dynasty league. We're scooping at guys up off the waiver, like Peyton Barber, and that's not fun. That's not what we want to be doing in a dynasty league. So you mentioned that extra game of this season, and Sigmund Bloom put this out on Twitter the other day, and I thought it was a really good question. Is now that we have the extra game, right? And this was something where we just didn't know what it was going to look like with the 17 game season, and how fantasy football leagues, the majority of them, pushed back to champion or playoffs starting in weeks 15, 16, and then 17. And Sigmund asked, is it time that we, do away with that 17 game fantasy football season, and we move back to playoffs being in weeks 14, 15, and 16 to avoid the holiday, right? Like that, this, I don't know what it was like for you, but this past week, trying to keep on top of everything while still trying to spend time with the family on the holidays was an absolute nightmare for me. Like I spent the least amount of time that I did this entire year on rankings and on trying to give quality advice, especially with so many COVID lists, additions and everything like that. It was an absolute nightmare. So is that something that you think is beneficial for us to at least have the conversation of, do we go back to weeks 14, 15, and 16 and still know that games are going to be happening in weeks 17 and 18, but just the fantasy football season ends? Yeah, just enjoy it.
Yep. I get the point, and I love it, and I wish that could be the way, but I'm going to guess most league hosts are not going to set it up that way. So the general public, the overwhelming general public, is not going to do that. I will say a few of my leagues did do 16 weeks, and I actually really, really appreciated that.
Right.
Because like you said, I also got a bunch of messages from people who, missed getting like James Conner out of their lineup and stuff last week because they're like, I was spending time with the family, and I totally get it. I do wish that could be the way. The NFL kind of hamstrung a lot of fantasy players because most fantasy people don't want to play with a bye week in the first week of the playoffs in week 14. If they pull that back, I can see it being more of a thing next year. I can see the conversation being had, as you pointed to it, and leagues, maybe some leagues actually having that conversation and doing that. And I would be open to that in my leagues. SFB has week 14 buys. High stakes leagues like competitions have playoff buys. They have for years. So it can be worked around. The thing you need to remember, if you're considering doing a 16 game season and having a bye in the week one of the playoffs, The Jonathan Taylor owner, yes, he misses Jonathan Taylor, but he got Jonathan Taylor for 13 weeks of the regular season.
Right,
he never had to deal with a bye. So maybe you get a bye in the playoffs. Like, you get an advantage in the regular season. You just don't get it in the playoffs. So there's give and take. There's two sides to that argument.
There really is. And that's I'm glad that you mentioned that with the NFL moving that bye to week 14, right, where we didn't have that in weeks past or in years past. Right. With the week 14 with guys like Jalen Waddle, Michael Pittman Jr., with Jonathan Taylor, like those are key players that you're going to be missing for week one. So I think something too to consider is if you are going to move back to a week 14, 15 and 16. And again, like what we're having here is the greater conversations. We're not going to tell you to do something. No. We're going to say like, this is what we think. This is where we can see things going, but it's up to you as the commissioner of your league or as someone who's involved in your league enough to be able to pose these questions to your commissioner, to be able to have those and decide on them as a league. But that's something too, where if you are going to do a week 14, 15 and 16, it might be really, really important to remember to have the weeks to have the bye weeks for the first and second guy in your league, right? The first and second place finish. So that way, then if they did have Jonathan Taylor that entire time, then maybe they don't have to worry about that as much. Something here that I wanted to ask you, Scott, especially with your experience in running Scott Fishbowl and so many other experiences as a commissioner too. Like, I think you have a great pulse on just where the industry is going. And so what is one setting that you believe should be in every dynasty league? And this could be something for the people who are initially setting up their dynasty league and they want to make sure that they're doing it the best the way that they can, or someone who has been running a dynasty league for the longest time and may not have even considered this. So what is something that if you were to say, man, if I could put this into every single dynasty league that I can, what would that be?
Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of answers to this. And if you listen to some of the things I do, like the Commission Impossible podcast and stuff like that, like I consistently mention, like, enjoy your league, like play with the settings you like. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I can tell you the good and the bad of different settings. And there are some things that I just really feel like you should have, like we've mentioned it, more flexes. I just think that there should be more flexes in dynasty leagues because we've got these giant rosters and we're trying to scoop up this talent. And often, you know, that talent doesn't come at the required positions that we're starting. I just prefer more flexes in dynasty. I think it helps with the way you construct your roster. This is one that's a little off the beaten track, but it's common enough that I can mention it. I far prefer in dynasty leagues having rookie auctions over rookie drafts. And that is not your most common setting. But if I'm going to play in a dynasty league now, I generally want a rookie auction. So I could, like, we spend all this time scouting these players and like having our crushes and stuff. And to like in a draft format, it's tough to sometimes be able to go after and get the players that we truly love. Whereas an auction format, you can absolutely fight for them with the money. You can go after any single one that you want.
All right, so break that down a little bit more, because I think that there's going to be a lot of people who have questions about, okay, like how exactly does that work? Because maybe they haven't even done an auction draft up to this point. So break that down a little bit more for me. What exactly does that look like? How much, you know, if it's fab, how much auction budget should you be starting with? Things like that. Break that down a little bit more for me.
Absolutely. And if you follow me on Twitter, ScottFish24, you can tweet at me and I can give you, you know, example breakdowns. But basically you trade picks in season, like regular draft picks, like any league. But right before the rookie draft, those draft picks convert into money. The money is a scale from top to bottom. You know, at the top, you know, a 101 gives you X amount, to the 410 gives you, or 412 gives you almost no money, right? So that's how you break it. That's how you break it down. That's how you turn it into an auction, is you trade picks all year like normal. It's just right before that rookie auction, you turn all the draft picks into money. And then it's just a normal auction. And I'm assuming most of your listeners have played in auction leagues. There are different kinds of auctions you can do, but then it's just a normal auction.
That's really interesting, where you have still the ability to trade rookie picks, but then at the same time, those then convert into a significant amount of money where you're able to then allocate those to the players that you want to go after. That's really, really interesting. And something that I really have not heard a ton about, Scott. So I'm glad that
that's what I was saying. I wanted to do one that was off the beaten path.
And I love that, because I think that a lot of people are like myself, just haven't even thought about doing that. But if you have that hardcore dynasty league that is going to be really invested in that, and there are certain, it's not going to work for every league, right? There are going to be people that you have in your league, and you know the pulse of your league, you're listening, you know the pulse of your league, you're going to be able to say like, okay, I know these one or two players that, you know, they check out until the rookie draft and they come back to it, and they're pulling up someone else's rankings and they're just going off of that, right? They don't do the work to be able to scout these guys and listen to the Dynasty podcast and stuff like that. They don't do that work. They're not going to be able to do that. So then that's something that you don't implement in your league. Yep. But if you do have people that are entirely invested in scouting the upcoming class and knowing who these rookies are, they're really prepared for their rookie drafts, that's something to definitely consider. One of the things that I've noticed in recent years is there's been significant movements and significant trends. Yes. We've seen where it was, you know, PPR was all the rage after standard. And then, okay, we balanced it out and everyone kind of moved towards half PPR. Right. Then a significant trend just recently has been Superflex. We've started to see more and more people. I get a ton of questions every year. Like, okay, what are the specifics about Superflex? How can we move towards that? And so are there any trends, again, with your experience and your, you know, bird's eye view of the industry, are there any specific trends that we're noticing that maybe we should be considering as we look at our dynasty leagues?
Sure. So just to touch on the Superflex one, it's been an impressive movement to watch over the last 2 to 3 years, because it's a movement that isn't just niche, right? Like, it's the casual consumer. The trend line on the growth of Superflex, and I've pulled data from various league hosting sites, is more stark than when we went from standard to PPR. Like, it's like a straight upward angle. It's absolutely ridiculous. Safe Leagues, the company I run that runs fantasy contests, we don't even create one quarterback fantasy leagues anymore. Wow. We just can't. We did none last year, and we only did 6 the year before, because it's not worth it. They're harder to fill. And once they're full, if people leave, they're harder to find replacements. It's not worth it at this point. You mentioned the rolling back of PPR. We've noticed a lot of that. The PPR to half PPR. We've noticed a lot of people throwing half point per first down. A lot of people are dropping the first downs in there, which is cool, because it's a meaningful thing, but I don't think it's going to be hit the masses until first downs are tracked in game centers. That's where most your casual consumer is like, I need to see it in the game center. I want to be able to track as I'm watching, you know?
Right.
Another thing that's really, really popped up, and you can credit Sleeper for this, is it's basically victory points, a new like a format of victory points, which is, you know, wins against the medium. Like, each week you play one matchup versus the same team, your head-to-head opponent, and then one matchup against the league median. That one has become crazy popular. Basically, anything that makes it so that the bad beats are lessened and the best teams get in the playoffs are becoming popular trends. The against the medium, the sixth place team gets this, or the most points in your league that missed the playoffs gets the sixth seed. Those are extremely common ones again, for your casual consumer right now.
One that we didn't talk about this at the onset, Scott, but one thing that I do want to ask you is that, are we seeing a significant movement towards Devy? Because we've seen that a lot of people, you know, that play Devy, and I, you know, I'm talking to Mr. Devy, but like, a lot of people that do play Devy are so focused and they swear by it. They are like so passionate about it. And it's kind of the same thing with IDP. Like, people that play IDP swear by it. They love it. Are we seeing more of a movement towards Devy, or is it something where, because from my perspective, the amount of questions that I get from people that are like, I want to start up my first dynasty league. And I think that you got to go to dynasty and then you can go into Devy, right?
Yeah.
Don't go all the way into Devy or like college to Canton and everything, like campus to Canton. Like, that's a whole other beast. But I've seen more and more movement towards that, towards people saying, okay, I want to take my redraft league and I want to turn it into a dynasty. Yes. Are we seeing more of a movement towards Devy, or is it kind of just been, you know, the passionate people are still the ones that are driving that?
That's what it is. The latter. It's still a very small percentage. It's the very, very hardcore people. It's growing. It's definitely growing. And as a guy who's played Devy for, you know, 20 plus years now, I remember back in the mid 2000s, I had the only Devy rankings on the internet, the only Devy podcast on the only Devy. Like, I love that I've seen it grow to this point where people, it's covered on major sites, but it's still super small. You mentioned IDP. IDP is still about 10% of leagues, and it's been that way for a decade. It hasn't grown percentage-wise. It's grown because more people are playing fantasy.
Right.
But it hasn't grown percentage-wise. In fact, Matthew Berry mentioned, I was doing a show with him once, and he mentioned something like 2% of ESPN leagues are IDP. It's like, wow. It feels huge. It feels like everybody knows what it is, but it's actually a pretty small percentage of the, you know, the general public of playing. I think Devi's far smaller than IDP, obviously. I don't know whether it's actually a movement towards growing like Superflex very clearly is, or if it's just that hardcore fan base is getting bigger each year a little bit. It's out there, but it's not a noticeably huge movement percentage wise.
Yeah. You mentioned your experience and how long you've been playing fantasy football and the priority that you have, or the role that you have played in advancing fantasy football, which is just crazy. Like, Scott, I don't know if I would have the job that I have if it wasn't for you and the work that you have done in advancing fantasy football. So 100%. What I want to ask you here before we end is, what is one piece of advice that you would give someone who is starting their first dynasty league, right? I talked about at the top, like, you can go back to the episode one where Ray and I talked about that for more specifics, but from your perspective and how long you've been playing fantasy football and the things that you have learned and your experience and your role in the industry, what is one piece of advice that you wish that you had gotten or that you could give as you start your first dynasty league?
Okay, so if we're on the commissioner side or the playing side, might differ for this answer. I'll start on the commissioner side. If you are creating your first dynasty league, know that rules can be changed each year, but only slightly and generally not scoring rules too much, things like that. So you want to get your rules set pretty close to what you want right away. When you start a dynasty league, you start either one of two ways. You create the rule set that you want to play in, and you find 12 guys to play, 11 guys to play with you, or find the 11 guys and figure it out together. I found if you try to half and half that, if you, you'll come into issues where all of a sudden people don't want to play with the rules that you wanted to play with, and you start to have issues right at the onset of the league. And one other note on the commissioner side, always have a best interest clause. Make the last line of your bylaws, have bylaws, make the last line that says something like, should circumstances, issues, or problems arrive that is not explicitly stated in the rules, the commissioner will make the best decision possible, you know, on behalf of the league or whatever, in the best interest of the league. Because good owners, and I say good, you know, with, I don't know, almost air quotes or whatever, but good owners are going to find loopholes, you know, that they'll try to exploit in the rules. Some of, are not good, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean? Like, totally get it. Yep.
But yeah, you need to be able to close those loopholes on the spot. If it's on the playing side, I think the one thing that I've learned over the years that I wish I had known right away is that a 4 or 5 year window doesn't really exist.
Yep.
And a three year window barely exists.
Yep.
Michael Thomas 2 years ago was a top 10 dynasty asset.
A couple years before that, I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster was like the wide receiver one, and, you know, and how quickly things have tailed off. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that would be on the playing side. That would be the number one, that just try to win most years. Play, you know, back end your roster with guys with a lot of potential and hope they hit in the future, but you should be playing to win most years.
Absolutely. I think I look back at my first dynasty league. It's still going. It's with guys from college, and I think it started up in 2017. And looking at all of our strategy, it's so funny because that was our first dynasty league across the board. No one else had really played in one. Uh-huh. And our strategy was like, I'm drafting this guy because I'm going to have him for the next 10 years. And you know, nope, no one has. You look at the drafts and then the current rosters. It's so funny. Like the turnover is just absolutely insane. Yeah, you're playing in, it's really redraft, and you expand it 1 to 2 years. Like you just have a little bit more forward thinking because of how much changes in the NFL. It is just absolutely ridiculous how much changes. So yes, completely agree with that. Do not think that you are playing in a 10-year. You don't even know if your league is going to be going in 4 or 5 years. So
the average lifespan of a dynasty league is sadly like 3 point something years. That's crazy. Which is really sad. Really sad. But that's another thing. Can we go back to the one saying you believe that every dynasty league should have? I have started talking about this, and I'm thinking about it a lot, that dynasty leagues should figure out a way to design an end. You know, it's not, you know, a fun way to end instead of petering out or just canceling. I've talked about a few different ways. All of them kind of have flaws. But if you have a dynasty league, think about a fun way to end the league, you know, before it dies.
Right. Yeah, I think. And you'll be able to tell when that's coming. Right. You'll be able to tell when people are starting to check out if the league is still engaged. So it's not like you at the onset, you say, all right, in 5 years, we're ending this. Right. Like it's you go into it and you say like, OK, maybe, you know, next year we kind of see that this is the end. The end is coming. Like we can design some fun ways to end it out where everyone.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a really good point there, too. All right, Scott, I appreciate you carving out some time out of your busy schedule to come on and talk about just where we are heading in Dynasty. Have some larger conversations. Always appreciate getting a chance to talk to you. So what do you have going on here that you want to be able to tell everyone that you've got coming up here?
Sure. ScottFish24 on Twitter is where you can find me. ScottFishbowl.com. You can sign up to play in the Scott Fishbowl next year. It's a heck of a tournament. A lot of fun. We got the finals coming up this upcoming week. SafeLeagues.com. I run a ton of fantasy contests, dynasty leagues, redraft leagues. Right after the season, we're going to have a bunch of open available orphan teams. You know, in a month or two, we'll have some new startup dynasty leagues. So look out for that.
Yeah. And if you are listening to this podcast and you are looking for a way to be able to get into a dynasty league, you maybe don't have people around you that are as committed to it or interested in getting into a dynasty league. They just want to keep it with their normal redraft, stuff like that. Then go over to safeleagues.com because you will be able to find something there where you can get involved and start figuring out. You start to put some of these strategies to the test that we talk about here on the Dynasty podcast. You get to be involved with the rookie conversation that's all coming up. It's going to be a ton of fun as we head into the 2022 off season. All right, Scott, I appreciate you taking some time out, man. That will do it for us today. For Scott Fish, I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.